Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. Here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook and their son, Mr. Rush Gook. Vic is established in his easy chair, staring reflectively at the ceiling. Sade glances through the newspaper on the Davenport, and young Rush at the library table contemplates his algebra textbook without enthusiasm. And now the master of the Menai speaks.
I suppose you noticed I received a letter from Lodge headquarters today.
Yeah, person can't mistake that yellow envelope.
The communication contains something rather important.
They want you to dig down in your pocket and whip out $49 for something?
No money is involved.
Huh?
This is kind of a thing, say, that you generally make fun of.
Is that?
So much so I hesitate to tell about it.
No, then.
I think I'd better. Besides that little barn loft.
Uh-huh.
Are you particularly busy?
No.
Be a wonderful fella and step to the bookcase and get me volume 7 in my lodge library.
I'll do it. He's studying.
No, I'm not. My brain is like a piece of cotton this evening. Can't fasten it on algebra. My mind insists on wandering to other topics.
Oh.
You know, next Saturday is a significant date as far as the sacred stars of the Milky Way is concerned.
Yeah?
Next Saturday has been set aside as National Exalted Big Dipper Day.
Hmm.
The fraternity in general does honor to all the Exalted Big Dippers, and the Exalted Big Dippers themselves do honor to each other.
Hmm.
A variety of ceremonies are
scheduled. Here I go. Volume 7.
Thanks. You're a wonderful fella, and are now free to resume your studies.
I'm quitting my studies for tonight.
I never saw you work any problems.
Miss Monroe didn't assign any problem. Our lesson for tomorrow is just a bunch of junk to memorize.
Got it, memorize?
Yeah.
I'll bet.
Kiddo.
Uh-huh. Next Saturday, Exalted Big Dipper Day. Go ahead.
There are a variety of ceremonies planned and here and there throughout the country. It's to be quite an occasion.
You want to go to Cincinnati, Indiana, or somewhere and march in some parade?
No.
You people are skulking around discussing parades. Might be interested to know Smelly Clark's Uncle Spam.
This is that old fat iron. Papa and Mama are talking over a matter which is of absolutely no interest to you. Permit us to finish our conversation and then consider yourself at liberty to recount all the anecdotes that come to mind.
Huh.
Our local chapter here in town isn't planning to make much of Exalted Big Dipper Day. A lot of the fellas are going to be out of the city. We decided to let it slide.
Hmm.
However.
Hmm.
There's a certain ritualistic procedure to be observed in the privacy of the home.
Huh?
And that's where you come in.
Me?
Yeah.
How?
Well, Lodge headquarters stipulate that every Exalted Big Dipper...
Lodge headquarters stipulate every Exalted Big Dipper what?
You make fun of this.
Well, don't tell me that.
You're mixed up in it, though.
Really?
Rush,
huh?
Take volume 7 in my lodge library and turn to page 118.
Oh.
I'd like to know what I'm mixed up in that nobody's asked my permission about yet.
In this ritualistic ceremony, in the privacy of the home, you're supposed to take an active part.
Am I?
You have to serve me my supper.
Serve you your supper?
Yeah.
I always do serve you your supper.
Barefoot.
What?
I expect you'd laugh.
Page 118, Gov.
All right, hold it.
This is next Saturday night. I trot around barefooted.
Kiddo, would you let me explain?
Oh, sure.
It's a serious, sober, impressive ceremony. And although I understand it's liable to strike you comical, I wish you'd try to appreciate the fact that the sacred star is in
all
right.
Ways. I won't laugh. Go ahead.
Next Saturday evening, at precisely 11 o'clock, the Exalted Big Dippers of every chapter in the country will sit down to supper.
Kind of a late supper.
Yeah.
Rush and I will probably want to eat earlier. Go ahead. I'm not laughing.
We don't have to go through the ceremony, Sade. Nobody'd know about it if we didn't bother. But I've always been the conscientious officer in the lodge, and I'd like to do what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, sure. Uh-huh.
Volume 7, open to page 118, Sam.
Yeah.
Read aloud, beginning at the first paragraph.
The exalted Big Dipper will seat himself at a small table at precisely 11 o'clock.
You eat alone, huh?
Yeah. Do we have a small table?
A card table, do?
Sure.
You can borrow Donahue's.
Oh, will you do it?
All right.
Of course, you don't need to tell him what we want it for.
Don't worry, I won't.
Read on, Ray.
The room will be illuminated by green lights. So arranged.
Well, they can buy green electric light bulbs at the 10-cent store, can't he, Steve?
I suppose.
All right.
Room will be illuminated by green light, so arranged that large shadows are cast on the wall opposite the exalted Big Dipper. The exalted Big Dipper's wife will enter barefooted, carrying a plate of thin soup. This she will place on the table. Bow twice to the exalted Big Dipper without speaking, turn around, and tiptoe away. Hey, am I in on this?
No.
Can I watch?
No.
I'll watch through the window. I'll get Bluetooth Johnson and Vernon Fagles and Leland
Richards. You do no such a halfway thing. Anyway, the shades will be tightly drawn. Read.
The exalted Big Dipper's wife's face will be free of talcum powder and lip red.
Oh, hey, now.
Well, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. Only thing is, it's a regular prescribed procedure. As a conscientious officer of the lodge, I'd like to obey.
It's so kind of halfway heathen-y.
Yes, I expect it strikes you that way.
Oh, I'd hate to have Miss Harris or somebody bust in and find you sitting underneath a green light eating thin soup and me trotting around barefooted. She'd get the impression she busted in on old King Cole.
She'd think, by George, she was in snake-infested Indiana. Gang of guys out of the Arabian
Nights. Oh, hush, right. Your father don't want to be jollied about this.
As a matter of fact, I don't.
Read some more out of the book.
Exalted Big Dipper's wife's face will be free of talcum powder and lip red. She will see that her hands are clean and her hair neatly combed.
I hope so. I don't generally serve supper with dirty hands and my hair in my eyes.
If convenient, station several persons in an adjoining room and instruct them to maintain a low moaning and wailing during the course of the meal.
I'm afraid that won't be convenient.
No.
Leland Richards and Vernon Pickles and Bluetooth Johnson and Smelly Clark could only be too delighted.
Read.
Huh?
Read.
Leland Richards can slap out more low moaning and wailing than...
Read.
After the exalted Big Dipper has finished his thin soup, he will be served a small bunch of white grapes. The white grapes will be followed by 1 ounce of rare beef, ungarnished with salt, pepper, or any other condiment.
I call that a pretty slim meal.
Oh.
You're going to eat your regular supper with us that evening, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
1 ounce of rare beef wouldn't stay a person's stomach 6 seconds.
Read, Rush.
Ungarnished by salt, pepper, or any other condiment. The beef will be followed by a single lettuce leaf and a sip of cold water. Hey, talk about your hearty lunch.
Is that all of it?
At the conclusion of the meal, the exalted Big Dipper will remain seated and ponder for 2 hours.
Well, that'll take clear up till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well.
Hmm.
Is that all, Rush?
It's all the directions. Goes on to say, our founder, R.J. Conk, instituted this procedure on the 19th day of December, 1881. It was in Topeka, Kansas at the time, and in an address he delivered at the fire department in that city, he said, in hoc, ad jeeper, geek, sim spittle, dumb clock, no, disputandum vip, ad nauseum, sprinch, gonk, cornucopia, division.
Never mind.
Huh?
Never mind the Latin.
Okay.
Well?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if what Fred and Ruthie ask us to play 500 Saturday night.
If we play here, won't we?
Yes, I expect so. It's our turn.
When we play here, they always go home around 10:30. Never later than 10:45.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Our ceremony don't begin until 11. Well.
All right.
You'll do it?
Yeah.
Hank.
This is Keith Heltzley of Retro Radio Podcast, located at retro-otr.com. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Vic and Sade, especially the Exalted Big Dipper Day. which aired on May 12th, 1941. And it's almost a flip-flop, because usually Vic is so exuberant about anything that has to do with the lodge. But here he comes with the attitude of, well, as the announcer puts it, without enthusiasm. Although I think because he uses the phrase that there's no money involved, I think Sade is actually willing to listen to him. Because, of course, usually she is just anti anything with the lodge. Of course, Rush is avoiding doing his algebra. As usual, he tries to be helpful. He reads from the lodge manual. Oh, and speaking of the lodge manual, I found it was amazing that Vic knew precisely which volume, volume 5, and which page, page 118, the first paragraph, the point Rush, right where to read, as if he knows those lodge manuals inside and out. Either that or maybe his letters mentioned the page number, but all out for knowing those lodge manuals. Of course, there are many events that are planned for this day, but Vic, he kind of just wants this one personal, private ritual that he is kind of coming hat in hand to say it about. And Rush, of course, being the curious, helpful teen that he is, wants to bring his friends to look on to this amazing ritual. And, of course, he is told no. The ritual, of course, is ridiculous in itself. He'll feed himself at precisely 11 p.m. and his wife is to enter carrying a thin soup, barefooted, and to bow twice, turn and tiptoe away. That's some pretty ridiculous stuff. It's amazing that Sade even considers it, but she does. And of course, it's topped off by some raw meat, or not raw meat, but rare beef and small bunch of grapes. Now, here's the thing is, I don't know if this is really what's happening, because this is 1941, and if it really is, the ridiculousness probably got it past the censors. But it's almost as though Vic is asking Sade to be, let's just say, intimate with him, if you know what I mean. Although the thing that throws me off is he has to wait 2 hours after this skimpy meal to contemplate. Not to mention the fact that there are supposed to be, was it 7 people in an adjacent room moaning? But anyway, it's almost as though it's a euphemism for him to be intimate with his wife. And maybe that's why she agrees to it in the end. But you know that game? That game of 500 with Fred and Ruthie, it works out so that they'll be done in time for this intimate, private, personal ritual. Well, anyway, it's just ridiculous observations I have about this quirky little show for you, Jimbo. Once again, this is Keith from retro-otr.com, Retro Radio Podcast.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that was Keith Helsley. And Keith is he's an OTR expert, not just Vic and Sade. He knows more about old time radio than just about anybody I know. And he's been on my website and a part of my website as far back as I can remember. Keith was right there, probably one of the first contributors to the website. And I was on his podcast way back in the day with Sarah Cole. Oh, that was way back. And we talked about Vic and Sade and Halls of Ivy. And I recall a few other things. Fibrigi and Molly, maybe. So Keith's been a longtime friend. And I appreciate him coming on here. Thank you, Keith. And he makes some great points. One of the points he brought up was how Vic can remember the exact page number and volume number of certain quotes in the lodge library. As I've stated, Vic is very, very serious about the lodge. He very religious about it. There's a certain amount of religion when it comes to the lodge, I believe, in Vic. It was stated in this episode, matter of fact, that R.J. Conk, the leader and founder of the lodge, was addressing the fire department in some city, I believe, in Kansas. And he had spoken Latin and everything there. It was very much a lodge event. Have you ever noticed how fire departments, police departments, use various sigils in their logos and whatnot that look very lodge-like, satanic in some ways? The five-pointed stars and the just the various things that you can almost combine. various sigils that are from lodges with the fire departments and police departments across this country. What does that mean exactly? I don't know exactly. I'm not the one to ask, but it's something for you to look into yourself. But obviously Paul Reimer was not ignorant of this fact. There's a point in here where Vic is talking about the ritual, and he says that Sade should come in with the suit barefooted. Barefootedness is a sign of, basically a sign of slavery and submission. And would certainly, again, go with religious overtones, because religion is slavery. That's what it is. Look up religion sometime. Religion is slavery. That's exactly what it is. So, yeah, this is really one of my favorite episodes. I've always gotten a big kick out of this episode because it's just so silly. Rush offers services for him and his friends to go and moan in the various rooms in the house and the green light and all that stuff. This is funny stuff. I like this episode a lot. Thank you, Keith, for being here.